My name is Jonas Steinmetz. I am actually not a stranger, even though Rabbi Schechter thought there had to be a whole bio on the announcement. I'm not a stranger to either the shul or this summer program. Last year was a one-year hiatus. Before that, for 3 years, I had the merit, the privilege of being a part of the summer learning program. Not so much during the year. During the year, we live in Washington Heights. But aside from last summer, when I took my family together, we went to camp for the summer, a trial run. It wasn't a failure, but we were rehired this summer to join the summer program again and learn a little bit together with you on Monday mornings. Rabbi Schechter had asked that I speak about the topic of Hilchos Lashon Hara. So I was hesitant to do that. I was hesitant to speak about the halachos of Lashon Hara, not so much because I dislike them, not so much because everyone loves juicy Lashon Hara, so it couldn't have been that. It's not so much that I was even scared of the complexity and the intricacy of the details of the halacha, because that does exist, and it is a very complicated sefer, and the svarim in general are difficult to learn. This topic is difficult to learn because there are very few primary sources and very many details in everyday application of the sources. But even though it's difficult, that wasn't really what scared me off. That wasn't really what made me so apprehensive. What made me so hesitant was the fact that I didn't really think it would be much of a draw. People don't really want to come to hear Shirim on Hilchos Lashon Hara. People don't want to really hear about the halachos of how to speak properly and how not to speak improperly, because it can be scary. If you look in source number one, the Gemara tells us here in Bava Basra that there are only a few sins, there are only a few averos, which a person absolutely, it seems like it's almost impossible from the Gemara, it's almost impossible to avoid. There are some averos, most averos, we have Yetzirah to do them, we have a desire to do the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah tells us to do an avera, to do an improper sin, to do something wrong, but if we try hard enough, there are sheets on the bima if you're first coming in on both sides of the bima. If we try hard enough, so we can basically avoid the Isser by fighting off the Yetzirah. And in the case of Lashon Hara, that's certainly true. There certainly is room to fight the Yetzer Hara. There certainly is room to overcome the Yetzer Hara and not to speak Lashon Hara on a consistent basis. But the Gemara tells us, Shalosh Averos, Ein Adam Nitzel Mehen B'chol Yom. There are three Averos from which a person can almost, it's almost impossible, he can almost not save himself from these Yisurim. Hir HaAveru V'Iyan Tvila, and says the Gemara of a Lashon Hara. Now the Gemara qualifies in two places, and here in the Gemara, Chazal tell us that it doesn't mean Lashon Hara itself, it means Avak Lashon Hara, which is a topic we'll get to eventually, hopefully this summer. Avak Lashon Hara means that it's not really the Isser of Lashon Hara Daraisa, but rather it's the dust of the Isser of Lashon Hara. It's the scrappings, it's the Derabanan aspects, or the other aspects of Isser Lashon Hara. But either way, the Gemara says it's almost impossible for a person to save himself or save oneself from the Isser of Lashon Hara entirely, to keep themselves completely clean from speaking Lashon Hara. Why is that? Why is it so hard? It's not because the Yetzer Hara is so much stronger. We have other taivas, we have other desires that have much stronger drive, give us a much more stronger reason, much more compelling reasons to commit the sin. So why is the Yetzer Hara for Lashon Hara, why is it so hard to overcome? Why can we find such difficulty in fighting the taiva, the desire to speak Lashon Hara? So the answer is really simple. Because Lashon Hara is involved in every aspect of our lives. Every day we interact with people, every day we have interpersonal relationships, every day we talk to people, with people, about people, and it's so hard to focus on every single word, and every word is crucial, as we'll see soon. It's so hard to focus on every word to make sure we're not saying something improper, that we're not saying something about someone else. That's not the right thing to say. There are things we're supposed to say. There are ways we're supposed to talk. There are ways we're supposed to talk about other people even. There are proper ways to speak about ourselves and about others and about things going on in our lives. But it becomes difficult to draw the line between mutter and usser. It becomes difficult to draw the line between what I should say and what I shouldn't say. Says the Gemara, Shlosha Averos, there are only three Averos, one of them being Lashon Hara, She'ein Adam Nitzel Behem Michol Yom, that it becomes so hard, so difficult, so troubling, it's so hard to find a way to stop ourselves from talking Lashon Hara, because again, our lives involve so much talking and so much speaking to and with and about other people that it becomes difficult to avoid this Isser. Now, that alone is not the reason we wouldn't want to come to a shiur like this. It's not the reason that this doesn't draw so many listeners, that this won't be the most listened to shiur on Y Torah, first of all because of the speaker, but also because the topic is scary, not only because we have such a trouble fighting it, because when we think about fighting it, if you think about it, when we think about fighting the Yetzer Hara of speaking Lashon Hara, when we think about changing our lives and living in a way where we talk less and less on Lashon Hara, less and less about other people and more about other things, so we start to think, what am I going to become? I'm going to become such a recluse, such an outcast. People aren't going to want to hang out with me. I'm not going to be able to go to the coffee shop and schmooze about my friend's shidduchim issues, or my friend's kids' shidduchim issues, or my friend's family. I'm not going to be able to schmooze about different things. I'm going to become a loner. I'm going to become by myself, and people aren't going to want to hang out with me. And that's why we're so scared, and that's what the first title of the first section of the sheet is. That's why we're so scared to start learning Hilchos Lashon Hara, because what are we going to become? We're going to be boring. We're not going to have anything to talk about. We're not going to have any life to live without our friends. We're not going to become social, and we're going to become, again, recluse and outcast. So says the Chavetz Chaim in source number two. The Chavetz Chaim is obviously the most important source on Hilchos Lashon Hara, written by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan HaKohen. In 1873, he published it for the first time. The Halachos, a compendium of the Halachos of Hilchos Lashon Hara, says the Chavetz Chaim in his Hagdam, in his Psicha, in the opening to the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, found here in source number two, yeah, va'afilum ein lo al milas chaber. Even if you have no one to hang out with, you have no friends that want to sit with you at the table now because you stopped talking Lashon Hara, mitzvah rabbah lachsom piv. It's a huge mitzvah, a major mitzvah, to close your mouth, to shut your mouth. There are source sheets on the beam in the middle of the room. To shut your mouth, to lachsom piv, to close your mouth, v'leishev b'yechidi, and sit alone, sit by yourself, be a loner, be a recluse, be an outcast, v'lo leilech al kitos ra'os ha'elu. Not to walk to, not to join up with, not to be a part of these groups of evil people, of people speaking Lashon Hara constantly, of people who are just regularly talking and schmoozing about things they're not supposed to do. So if you really wanted to be scared of coming to the shiur, you could walk out right now, now that we've said it. The Chavetz Chaim says straight up, you're 100% right. There's a chance that this will happen. There's a chance that if you learn a little Lashon Hara and you realize how much you can't say, how much you're not able to talk about, how much you're supposed to hold back on what you're not supposed to be discussing, so there's a chance that you'll be sitting b'yechidi. There's a chance that you'll have to sit at the table alone, that you won't be able to go to the coffee shop and hang out with those friends, that you won't be able to discuss the shidduchim of a friend or a friend's child or whatever it might be with your friends. And that is a good chance that might happen. Lachsom piv still is a mitzvah rabbah, says the Chavetz Chaim. Even so, the mitzvah would be upon you, a mitzvah daraisa, says the Chavetz Chaim, to close your mouth and not speak the Lashon Hara. But yeah, the outcome might very well be that you lose your friends. So that's a scary, daunting idea, and that's something that we would shy away from, that would not really bring us to a shir, that would not really want us to come to hear Hilchos Lashon Hara. But if you look in source number three, there's a little bit of hope. In source number three is a source from the Sefer Tomer Devorah. Tomer Devorah is a Sefer, it's mostly a Musar Sefer, it's written by a big Kabbalist, or Moshe Cardivero, who wrote, the first part is really what's learned. Parak Aleph, the first parak, is really the part of the Sefer that's learned most often. And that's a Sefer that goes through the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim. And we're familiar with the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachim, Mechan. And we say during the Yom Narayim time, during the Yom Narayim season. So that that Sefer in the first parak in Tomer Dvorah, he goes through the different Midos of Hashem. He goes through the different attributes, the characteristics of HaKadosh Baruch, when he shows how every one of us is supposed to emulate and imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch. V'halachta bedrachav, you're supposed to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch, when you're supposed to spell out, he spells out for us the way we relate to each of the Midos, and the way we emulate and imitate each of those Midos. Now, that's Parak Aleph. Everyone learns Parak Aleph. Parak Beis, no one really learns, which is why I tried to learn it one time. And you see a little bit why people don't learn it if you go through it. But some things you're able to pick up. In source number three, you'll see a clipping from Parak Beis in the second parak of Tomer Dvorah, where Moshe Cardivero gets a little bit more Kabbalistic. He tries to show us eight pieces of advice, and this is the last piece of advice, eight pieces of advice on how to become an anav, how to become a modest, humble person, and really how to really engender all positive midos, become a overall, you know, refined character in general, through eight, you know, piece of advice, eight etzos, how to do so. And all of them he compares to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the same way Hashem has an eyes and an ears and a nose, and he uses his eyes and his ears and his nose for certain things, so too you should do the same. Says the Tomer Devorah, says Moshe Cardivero in the eighth piece of advice in source number three, that your mouth is supposed to be similar to the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. You're supposed to have a similar peh, a similar mouth to Hashem. How so? Says the Tomer Devorah, piv lo yotzi ela tova. Your mouth should never let out, never speak, never talk about anything but goodness. Ugzeres Amarav, all the things that he talks about, Torah, should be Kedusha. Va'afakas Ritzon, Tov Tamid. And always it should be the putting out, the giving out, the expression of Tov, constantly, consistently, we should talk about good things. Say in the bold, if you look in the bold over here, V'yedome le'oso ha'peha alyon, your mouth will become similar to the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, similar to the mouth of Hashem himself, She'eno nistam klal. Hashem's mouth never closes, so to speak. It's never closed and shut. It's never quiet. It never is quiet and holds back from saying good things. Hashem, so to speak, doesn't keep his mouth shut and not speak to us. He speaks to us and he speaks to the world, and he's constantly infusing the world with Kedusha through his words with an open mouth. Again, it's an imagery. We don't imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has a mouth, but if he would have a mouth, the way the mouth would be expressed would not be through a shut, tight mouth, sealed and closed. It would be speaking constantly, but the speech would not be davar ra, davar maguna, davar kas. It wouldn't be lashon hara. It wouldn't be angry things. It wouldn't be leitzanis. It wouldn't be wasteful things. It wouldn't be negative content. The words coming out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth would be positive, Torah, Kedusha, positive words. In the commentary on the Sefer Tomer Devorah, But Matzial Solomon, the Mashgiach Plita, points out that they have edus, they have testimony, that the Chafetz Chaim himself, as a person, was not a quiet person. We think of tzaddikim, we think of these big tzaddikim who didn't speak Lashon Hara, we think of them as a recluse. Someone who sat in a closet his whole life, in a cloise, and learnt by himself with a talus over his head, never interacted with people. Of course he didn't speak Lashon Hara. He never went out in public, he never spoke to anyone, he never did business, he never did shidduchim. Of course he never spoke Lashon Hara. What's the big kunz? What's the big deal? But says Rav Matzial Solomon, and other people quote this as well, if you look in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, there's no real official biography of the Chafetz Chaim. His son, Rav Arye Leib, wrote a partial biography in Hebrew, which is very worth reading, but it's only partial. He died in the middle of the project. Rav Moshe Meir Yosher, who is a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, continued the work a little bit, even though he's not really based in the original, but he wrote his own sort of a biography, originally as a couple of articles in Hebrew and in Yiddish, but eventually the Art Scroll did translate into English. We have it now as a, I think it's something like 600-page English biography. If we want to discuss which pages are better than the others, we can. Some of it is more well-written than others. But basically, he records this as well. The Chafetz Chaim was not the quiet person. He was quite chatty. He was someone who actually talked a lot. And he did business. He went out when he raised money to publish his Sfarim. The Chafetz Chaim published a ton of Sfarim in his life. Not just the Chafetz Chaim, not just the Mishneh Berurah. He published a ton of Sfarim in his life. And he went out and raised the money himself. He was interacting in business all the time. He worked on Shidduchim, he worked on community issues. He was always talking to people. He was talking to them. He was fun. He was regular. He was a good guy, part of the Chevra to be around. Wasn't like the Vilna Gaon. Wasn't like other tzaddikim we think of closed up in a hole by themselves quietly. He really interacted with people. And yet the Chafetz Chaim is the one we know. Not a word of Lashon Hara, not a word of evil speech, not a word of Rechilas, not a word of anger, nothing like that. Even though he was chatty, even though he was Dome Lepiva Elyon, even though he was simmered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, so to speak, in the sense that it wasn't closed, it wasn't shut tight, it spoke, it chatted, it hung out with people, it was friendly, it was schmoozed a lot, even so, he protected himself from the Isser of Lashon Hara. Says Rav Matzial Solomon, that's what the Tomer Dvor is telling us. It's true, if you learn Hilchos Lashon Hara, if your personality is such, you might become a little quieter, you might sit at a different table at the wedding, you might choose not to talk about certain things, that's true. That's true, and it'll be the right thing to do for you. But even so, says Rav Matzial Solomon, even the Chafetz Chaim himself, and other people point this out as well, even the Chafetz Chaim himself, he wasn't quiet. He wouldn't sit like a rock at a table and not talk to anyone. He was fun. He was geshmak to be around. He was talkative. He was chatty. And he just followed the rules and followed the way of speech properly. And he was dom in lepiva elyon. He emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way by schmoozing, but about the right things. The Sri Deish, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, used to talk. He used to tell a story that the Chafetz Chaim once came to a small town. And when he came to the small town, he was hanging out with the Balabatim. So he sat at a table in one of the inns. And, it's probably the same inn from every other story that you've heard before. So he's sitting at this inn. I've never seen an inn before, but apparently they're in everywhere in Europe. So he's sitting at an inn with a bunch of Balabatim. And he was schmoozing, he was talking with them. And the Talmidim went over to hear what the Chafetz Chaim was talking about, thinking he was saying, Shir Klali, Divrei Torah, he came to town, he's showing everyone how much he learns and how much halacha they need to keep, and blah, blah, blah. And they were listening, and not a word of Torah for over an hour. Not a word of Divrei Torah. The Chafetz Chaim was schmoozing with the Balabatim, he was schmoozing with the town's members, and he didn't say a single Dvar Torah the entire time. And the Talmidim were perplexed. They were confused. How could it be? You speak for an hour, it's such a waste of time. You don't say a single word of Torah. So afterwards, they had the chutzpah. They asked the Chafetz Chaim, they said, you were sitting there for an hour and a half. You were talking to these Balabatim who don't learn enough, so why didn't you share any Divrei Torah? Why didn't you talk in learning at all? You're just schmoozing about the regular Mila De'ama, about regular mundane matter. Said the Chafetz Chaim, I was teaching them an even more important lesson. I was teaching them you could schmooze for an hour. You could talk about mundane matters. You could have a good time and not say a word of Lashon Hara. You could have those conversations. You could enjoy the Chevra. You could have fun with your friends and get together with your friends and sit for an hour and a half, a long period of time, and have those conversations and not say a word of Lashon Hara. I didn't need to say any Divrei Torah to prove that. All I needed to do was carry on a conversation, show people what a piv ha'elyon looks like, show people what the peh looks like from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's angle, show people what a holy mouth speaks like. It's not only speaking in Divrei Torah, it's not only learning all day, it's not only saying Shir Klali, it's those things too, those are great. But it's also someone who can carry on a normal, lively conversation, a fun, exciting, regular conversation about mundane, everyday matters without ever expressing anger, stress, disappointment or Lashon Hara, Rechilas Chas V'Shalom, without ever causing machlokas. A piv can talk, a peh can talk, without showing any davar maguna. That's what the Chafetz Chaim was trying to teach those Balabatim. When we see Hilchos Lashon Hara, we get scared that we're going to have to close ourselves off. And maybe we will, but the truth is, as we've just seen, it's not true. You don't have to close yourself off. We can become people who are talkative and social and excitable and have a good time, but at the same time, people who keep their mouths clean, nucky, clean, from speaking every evil speech. And the truth is that if you think about it, it's not just that our lives will not change negatively. Our lives will actually change positively. If you look in source number 4, the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us, Mi'o ish hechafetz chayim, Oiv Yom Leros Tov. Obviously, like we just mentioned, the most famous sefer on Hilchos Lashnara is the sefer Chavetz Chaim, written by the Chavetz Chaim. How do you think it got his name? So the way the sefer got its name is from this pasuk in Tehillim, which we say every Shabbos, Mi'al Ish, HaChavetz Chaim, who is the one who desires life? The English is in source number 4 on the bottom. Oiv Yomim Leros Tov, someone who loves his days of his life and sees goodness, sees only goodness. Nitzur L'shon Chameira, guard your mouth from evil speech. Usvasech Amidaber Mirma, guard your tongue from evil. Tzur Me'rava Aseitov, Bakei Shalom Radfeyu, shun evil, stay away from evil, and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. So the pasuk tells us, Mi'o Yisha Chavetz Chaim, who desires life, Nitzor Lashon Chameira, guard your tongue from speaking. Now we know those psukim, generally we think of them as referring to Isser Lashon Hara, right? We think of Nitzor Lashon Chameira, guard your tongue, that's the title of a famous book, I think, on Hilchos Lashon Hara in English, guard your tongue, as referring to the Isser of Lashon Hara, and it probably does, that probably is what the pasuk is referring to, but Sefer Tehillim is not a sefer of halacha, it's not a sefer telling us what to do, what not to do, what's proper, what's improper, that's not what Tehillim is all about. Tehillim is about a lifestyle. It's David HaMelech going from Parak Aleph until the very end, telling us how he dealt with different scenarios in his life, different challenges, different things that came up. It's a beautiful sefer to learn in that way, as a sefer Musar, a sefer that shows you the way of living through regular everyday scenarios and how to deal with those scenarios in a Torah-dik, a proper way, in a way of Kedusha. So what is David HaMelech addressing over here? It's not halacha. He's not teaching us the Isser of Lashon Hara. We know that from the Pesukim in the Torah. So what's David HaMelech trying to teach us over here? So I once heard from a Rebbe of mine, Rav Reuven Targan, who pointed out a very interesting reading of the Pesukim over here. He said, Mi'o Yisha Chavetz Chaim. David HaMelech is asking, who is the type of person who's Chavetz Chaim, who loves life, who desires life, just enjoys, just a positive person? We know these people. People who wake up in the morning smiling and you're like, stop smiling, you didn't have coffee yet, and they're just happy about life. Who is the person who's Chavetz Chaim? Who's the person who loves life? Says the David HaMelech, says the Kapitel in Tehillim, Oiv Yamim, who's a person who loves his days, he's Chavetz Chaim and Oiv Yamim, Liros Tov. The Mida, the character trait which brings a person to love life, which brings a person to feel positive, to feel happy about life all the time, is Liros Tov. If a person wakes up in the morning and the first thing they notice is a negative trait about their spouse and their friend, their chavrusa, and the person they go to lunch with, and everything, and the teacher in school is no good, and the kid's teacher is no good, and the kid is no good, and whatever you're trying to see all the way in life, you're always seeing the negative. Every time you walk around, you see the negative in everyone else and all these situations around you and in yourself sometimes too. So you're never going to enjoy life. You're going to spend your whole life down in the dumps. You're going to be upset all the time, feeling negative towards everyone else and even towards yourself. But Mi'o Yisha Chavetz Chaim, who loves life? Oiv Yamim, who loves every day? Who enjoys every day of their life? Liros Tov, someone who has the ability to see positive, to see goodness, to look at the good in life and focus on the positive traits. But how do we do that? It's so easy to focus on the negative. It's so easy to find the negative traits in other people, the negative traits in ourselves, the negative parts of every situation we're in. It's so easy to find those negatives. How do you find the positives? How do you live a life of Liros Tov? Says David HaMelech, Nitzor Lishon Chameira, Usvasech Midaber Mirma. We know that the Rishonim already tell us, but it's obvious that Achrei HaPu'ulos Nimshachas HaLevavos, the way we act is the way we end up feeling. Even if we don't feel something genuinely inside to start, but if we start to act in a certain way, so then eventually we start to feel that way as well. Sometimes people struggle with davening, and they can't find a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. So people tell them how to learn the pnimius of davening, how to learn Kabbalah about davening, how to learn chassidus, it's very in style nowadays, to learn chassidus about davening, and all those things are wonderful, but sometimes that's the wrong way to start. Sometimes the way to start is to say, just daven. Just go through the motions, go through the actions, try to put more energy into it, and if you go through the actions, it usually brings along with it the emotion, it usually brings along with it the inner feelings of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same is true in every aspect of his life, says David HaMelech. The same is true over here as well. Mi'o Yisha Chavetz Chaim, who wants to love life, who wants to desire life? Oiv Yamim. Liros Tov, you need to see positively. How do I see positively? There's so much negative around me. Says David HaMelech, Nitzor Lashon Chameira. Why don't you start by not talking about evil things? Why don't you start by not talking about negative things? Nitzor Lashon Chameira is Usvasecha Midaber Mirma. Don't speak deceitfully. Don't talk about the negative things around you. If you stop talking about them, if you stop speaking the Lashon Hara, the Rechilas, the negative things, if you stop focusing with your mouth on those things, then eventually your heart and your mind will start to notice the good and not the bad. Eventually you will shun the evil. Eventually you will do the good, not because you felt that way originally, not because you genuinely were inspired to do so, but because you wanted to be Liros Tov, you stopped your mouth from speaking that way. You stopped yourself from focusing actively on those negative traits. Memela, eo ipso, ipso facto, however, I don't know which one's appropriate in that context, whichever one it is, you suddenly realize that you're able to also be Liros Tov. You're able to actually focus on the good and see the goodness in everyday living. So the Mahalik, the way of gaining a good life, the way of gaining a life which we love, which we desire, is to really speak positively and avoid speaking negatively. And that's what we're saying, is that avoiding Lashon Hara, these halachas of Lashon Hara, the reason why so many people didn't show up today, is not because it shouldn't really be, or they're really wrong for thinking, and maybe you'll tell them after this year that they were wrong and they'll come next week, but they're really wrong for thinking that's because a person will become a recluse, will become boring, will become quiet, will become negative. No, it's not true. The Chafetz Chaim and everyone else who really practices these rules properly will feel comfortable talking to people, will feel comfortable having friends, will feel comfortable schmoozing with their friends about everyday things, but in a positive way, liros tov, in a positive way of loving life, of loving goodness, and seeing goodness in everyday living. When we think about that, when we think about the shift in the personality that a person can experience through stopping speaking Lashon Hara, so we have to unfortunately think about the opposite aspect as well. What's the shift? What's the difference in personality, the paradigm shift, if you will, that a person experiences when they don't follow these rules, when they're not careful about shmiras halashon, about guarding their mouths, but rather they do go ahead and speak Lashon Hara. They do go ahead and speak inappropriately, talk Lashon Hara, gossip, slander, whatever it might be about other people. What happens to that person? What's the midah that bespeaks? What is the trait that we see from that midah? So if you look in source number 5, we'll start with a story in the Torah that's very famous because ostensibly it's a story about Lashon Hara. But we'll ask a very basic and crucial question on this story. And the Mirat Hashem, through the rest of the shiur, will come back to answer this question eventually. The story goes in Parshas Baaloscha not too long ago, just 2 weeks ago, that Miriam and Aaron had a discussion. Miriam and Aaron were talking one time about their brother Moshe Rabbeinu. They were discussing how Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora, and the Pesukim don't really spell this out, but Chazal tell us that what Miriam was saying was that Moshe Rabbeinu did the wrong thing. He married Tzipora, that was seemingly okay to marry her, but then he did the wrong thing by separating from her. He thought he got so holy, he thought he became such a big nubby, he thought he became so important that he couldn't be together with his wife anymore, so he separated from her indefinitely. Says Miriam and Aaron, not such a good trait. Miriam really spoke. Miriam said, it's not such a good trait, it wasn't such a good idea by Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were talking about Moshe Rabbeinu behind his back. What Isser does that sound like? Lashon Hara. From the time we're younger, we're taught that that's the Isser of Lashon Hara. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayichar Apo, you look in the Pesukim here in source number 5, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes angry with Miriam and Aaron. He calls them out and gives them Musar. He gets upset at them. And then what happens? Miriam is punished with Saras. And for the rest of eternity, we're told a mitzvah d'araisa. We're told, remember the story of Miriam. People say the Sheish Sechiros, the remembrances after davening. One of the things you say every day is, remember what happened to Miriam. Remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. Gave her tzaras. Why? As a punishment for speaking Lashon Hara. That's the way we assume the story goes. And that's, in fact, with the Pshuto Shel Mikra. If you read it, again, with Chazal a little bit, you'd understand it that way. But if you look in Rashi, here in source number 5, right under the Pesukim, Rashi says something very fascinating, a nuance that we might have missed in kindergarten that we didn't notice until now. He points out that really the story is not what it looks like at face value. The story says, Vaitzaber Miriam Ve'aron. Miriam Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in the bold in Rashi, Uma Miriam Shalonis Kav Leganoso. Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, but Lonis Kavin Leganoso. She had no intent to disparage him. She had no intent to talk disparagingly about him. She wasn't trying to embarrass or hurt his feelings or make him feel bad or say something negative about him. Kach Nensha, still she was punished. Still she was given Tzara'as for what she had done, Kal v'chomer, all the more so, l'mesaper b'genuso shel chavero, someone who actually speaks disparagingly about their friend. Says Rashi, Miriam didn't do that bad of a thing. She spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, but it wasn't liganoso, it wasn't a gnus. She wasn't saying disparaging comments about Moshe Rabbeinu. She didn't speak in a negative way about Moshe Rabbeinu. Still, she was punished with tzaras. Says the Torah, she was punished with tzaras for not even speaking so badly. You, for sure, shouldn't speak real Lashon Hara, really be negative about people, really speak disparagingly about people, and be punished likewise, kal v'chomer, based on Miriam. So, according to Rashi, you already see, it's not so simple. Whatever Miriam did was not exactly what we refer to as classic Lashon Hara. It was a little bit less, a little bit removed, a little bit of a step down from classic Lashon Hara. And classic Lashon Hara is even worse than what Miriam did. And if you look in source number 6, the Rambam says this, the same thing, but in much more arichas, much longer, lengthier terms, in a much more beautiful way. The Rambam says, he's discussing in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, all the halachos, all the dinim of Hilchos Tzaras, of the Tumah of leprosy. And at the end, the way the Rambam usually does his halachos, at the end he discusses Devar Agada, he discusses some Musar, based on the mitzvah, based on the halachos he was just talking about. So here he says, V'al Inyan Zen, the bold, Mazir B'Torah V'Omer, Hishamer B'Negat Tzaras, Zachar Sasher Asa Hashem Al-Kech L'Miriam B'Derech, remember Tzaras, remember the punishment that Miriam got for what she did along the way. His Boninu, continuing the bold, Ma'ira L'Miriam HaNeviyah Shedibber Ba'achiyah, think about, reflect upon, be Mizbonin on what happened to Miriam, who spoke about her brother, continuing in the bold in the underlines, V'hi Lo Dibra B'Gnuso. Again, those words. Miriam did not speak disparagingly, did not really speak negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela ta'asa. She made a mistake, a simple mistake. Shehishvaso l'shar nevi'im. She thought he was like every other Navi. V'hulok hikbet al kol dvarim. He didn't really care what she was saying. Afal pikein miyad nensha b'tzaras. Even so, immediately she was punished with tzaras. Now in the last line, the underlines, kal v'chomer livnei adam harishayim. Hatipshim, Shemar b'madaber gedolos v'neflos. Wow. Kal v'chomer, says the Rambam. Miriam, she didn't do such a bad thing. She wasn't misaper b'gnus. She didn't say anything disparaging, anything negative about Moshe Rabbeinu. She just thought Moshe Rabbeinu was like every other Navi and shouldn't separate from his wife. She made a simple mistake. She didn't realize how high up Moshe Rabbeinu was, that he was higher than all of the Nevi'im, and attained and maintained that Kedusha for the rest of his life, consistently and constantly. She didn't realize that. So she said a comment, a Musar comment about Moshe Rabbeinu. She didn't knock him down. She wasn't making fun of him. She wasn't speaking behind his back in a very disparaging way. Even so, right away she got tzaras. Kal v'chomer, says the Rambam in Rashi, says the Chazal, Kal v'chomer l'bnei Adam harishayim hatipshim shemar b'nadaber gedolos v'neflos. All the more so, all of the people who end up speaking real Lashon Hara, who disparage other people, who talk negatively about the people around them. According to the Rambam, and really seemingly in Rashi, now that we're looking back, according to the Rambam, it seems there's a fantastic chiddush here. My Rebbe Rav Tursky Shlita points this out all the time. The Rambam is saying a fantastic chiddush. He's saying that Miriam did not speak Lashon Hara. Our whole lives we live thinking that Miriam is the paradigm of Lashon Hara, of Isser Lashon Hara. The tzaras of Miriam is the source, the proof text for the fact that you get tzaras for Lashon Hara. And we remember the mice of Miriam to remember the Isser of Lashon Hara, but Miriam never spoke Lashon Hara. She never said a word of Lashon Hara. She did something wrong. She made a mistake. She didn't really understand the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Lashon Hara, she didn't speak. That's what the Rambam is telling us, and looking back, that's what Rashi is telling us as well. But we have to stop and think about this, and this will really be the main question that we're going to try to come back to the rest of the shir, is what is pshat in this Rambam and Rashi? How could it be that they think Miriam did not speak Lashon Hara? Of course she spoke Lashon Hara. She was saying something negative about Moshe Rabbeinu behind his back. That's the epitome of Lashon Hara, the way we've been taught our whole lives. How could they say otherwise? Now, there is a misconception, a misunderstanding that people have, a misnomer, I guess, that people might have about Ilchilchus Lashon Hara, which would have answered this question if it were true, but it's not true. People tend to think, you ever hear this? Someone's talking and they want to tell you a piece of Lashon Hara, and you are strong and firm, and you're able to say, no, I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear, because suddenly you're inspired to do so. And the person says, no, it's not Lashon Hara, it's true. So we hear that all the time, right? So some people tend to think, I don't know if anyone in this room does, but some people don't raise your hand if you do, but some people tend to think that Lashon Hara is only us, or if it's not true, if it's an exaggeration, if it's false, whatever, that's Lashon Hara. If you're saying true fact, this guy really smells bad. No, it's like, it's true. It's not Lashon Hara. So that's not Lashon Hara if it's true. Says the Chafetz Chaim in multiple places. If you look in source number 7, I put one for you here. Asur l'saper b'gnus chaveiro. You're not allowed to talk negatively about a friend or about really any Jew. Afilu al emes gomer. Even about full truth. The Chafetz Chaim knew this was a problem, that people had this misnomer. He knew that people thought Lashon Hara was only on lies. It's not true, says the Chafetz Chaim. Lashon Hara is usur, even if it's true. You might have thought to say that Miriam and Aaron, they were talking the truth. They were saying the true thing. Moshe Rabbeinu really separated from his wife. We really think it's not the right thing to do. What Lashon Hara? They're saying the truth. They're saying the MS. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's still Lashon Hara. That's not an answer. That's not a taina. Emes Gomer is still called Lashon Hara. Zenik Rabbi Chazal B'chomakum Lashon Hara. That's what Chazal say. It's called Lashon Hara. What's it called when you lie? What's that called? Rechilus is something, a third category. What's it called when you lie? Motzi Shemra, which the Chafetz Chaim is going to say here in parentheses, we'll come back to in a second. There's Lashon Hara, which is telling the truth in a negative way. And there's Motzi Shemra, which is telling lies in a negative way. The classic case of Motzi Shemra in the Torah is where a husband claims that his wife was not exactly what he had bargained for. And when he gets married, he says, I didn't marry a woman like this. And he goes out and takes her to Beis Din and tries to prove that she wasn't the woman he wanted to marry. And she proves he was wrong. He was lying the whole time. He was Motzi Shemer. He was slandering her. He was trying to ruin her reputation by lying about her. That's called Motzi Shemer. He's fine. He's given malchus, etc. He's punished. But the point is, that's Motzi Shemer. To lie in a disparaging way is Motzi Shemer. But to tell the truth in a negative way, that's Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim says that's not a good answer for Miriam and Aaron. They were talking negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that not Lashon Hara? It was true? Doesn't matter. That's still Lashon Hara. How could it be that the Rambam and the Rashi say that there's no Isser Lashon Hara by Miriam? So we have to keep digging a little deeper. Let's put that question on the back burner for now, and let's dig a little bit deeper into something we just quoted from the Chafetz Chaim, but we skipped in the parentheses. The Chafetz Chaim says, again, there's a distinction between MS and Sheker, lying and truthfulness, lying in Isser Motzi Shemra, truthfulness in a negative way is an Isser of Lashon Hara. Saying a negative comment that happens to be true is called Lashon Hara, that's an Isser there, right? So the Rambam makes the same distinction and says Motzi Shemra is lies, Lashon Hara is truth. Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, a fascinating thing, it goes a little bit further. If you look here in source number 7 in the parentheses again, Even just a mixture, even just the slightest bit of sheker, I think they call it a shmek of sheker, just a little bit of sheker, but avurzen is gana chavero yoser, and because of this, his friend is even more embarrassed, even more hurt, because you're lying about him, you're making up false rumors about him. Hu bichlal motzi shemra, and here's the words that I want to focus on right now, that's called motzi shemra, va'avono gadol harbe yoser. That avera, that sin, that wrongdoing is much worse, much more stringent, much more terrible, much more horrific than the Isser of Lashon Hara. There are two Isserim. Lashon Hara is truth, that's negative. Motzi Shemra is lying, that's negative. Which one is worse? Says the Chafetz Chaim, Motzi Shemra, lying about someone else, making up a false rumor, making up something about someone to hurt their reputation, to hurt their feelings potentially, or to hurt their business, whatever it might be. The lie is worse, is more chumra, is more stringent, more terrible and egregious a sin than the Isser of Lashon Hara itself, telling the truth in a negative way. Now, why would that be? Where does that come from? What's the source to say that Motzi Shemra is worse than Lashon Hara, that lying negatively is worse than telling the truth negatively? So, there's an interesting sefer on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. The Sefer Chafetz Chaim is long and detailed and complex, but Baruch Hashem, or the opposite of Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of super commentaries on the Chafetz Chaim that make it more detailed and more complex and more intricate. And one of the most, I think, fascinating and I think really best composed super commentaries on Hilchos Lashon Hara on Chafetz Chaim is a sefer called Zera Chaim by Rav Moshe Kaufman. Rav Moshe Kaufman is a Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael who wrote three sets of Perushim within the sefer on Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So there he comments, he says, where did the Chafetz Chaim come up with this idea that Motzi Shemra, lying, is worse than Lashon Hara, telling the truth in a negative way? Says Rav Kaufman that it comes from a Rabbeinu Yonan, ultimately a Gemara, Rabbeinu Yonan, Shari Tshuva, and Shari Gimel, I think it's always Kuf Yod Aleph. He says that the Gemara in Arachan and Daf Tesvav points out that there's a Kal V'chomer we learn from one place to another, that the Meraglim that we learned about just a couple weeks, just last week, the Meraglim we learned about in the Parsha and Parsha Shlach, the Meraglim spoke, Motzi Shemra, they lied about Eretz Yisrael. They said Eretz Yisrael was not all it's cracked up to be. They said Eretz Yisrael was not that great. They were trying to convince everyone not to go there. They were slandering Eretz Yisrael, talking negatively about Eretz Yisrael in a lying fashion, with sheker, with Motzi Shemra. And they were punished with a horrible misa b'dei shemayim, a horrible misa, a miraculous, but a horrible misa for what they did. Says the Gemara, Kal v'chomer, even more so, someone who speaks Motzi Shemra about a living, breathing person. You speak about the land, and you die with a misa b'dei shemayim. For sure, if you speak about people, if you speak about other Jews, you're going to die in a terrible way. Misa b'dei shemayim, it's going to be a horrible thing. Motzi Shemra has misa b'dei shemayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's true about Motzi Shemra, it's not true about Lashon Hara. So you see from here, if Kaufman points out, that Motzi Shemra, in a way, is more severe, it is more terrible than Lashon Hara. The proof is that the punishment is much worse. You never find Misa B'dei Shemayim for Lashon Hara. There are other punishments, there are other problems that come about through speaking Lashon Hara, and there's, actually a plethora of problems that come out from speaking Lashon Hara. But the Gemara says, only by Motzi Shemra, only by lying in a negative way, are you punished with this horrific Misa B'dei Shemayim. So you have a proof text, you have a source, you have a, you have a mucker in the Gemara that says that Motzi Shemra is worse than Lashon Hara. That's true. The Gemara seems to say that. Rav Kaufman's right, the Rabbeinu Yonah is right, the Chafetz Chaim is right. But do you have a svara? Do you have a logic to say it? I would say the opposite. I would say Lashon Hara is worse than Motzi Shemra. I don't know why. Because let's say the following case. I have a friend who owns a store. And he's not my friend apparently. Okay, I don't like this friend so much, or we're on the rocks right now, our relationship, so I decide to disparage his store a little bit and try to take away business from him. So what do I do? So I say, you should know, when you go to Yenim's store, you should know, first of all, he has no midos, he's not going to treat you properly, it's terrible customer service, and it's very slow, and it's kind of like this room, he never turns the AC on. It's always boiling hot, he's always it's always schwitzy in there, you can't possibly function in a store, it's not a good experience, don't go to his store. So, now, here's the two possibilities. Let's say it's all true. That store owner has bad midos, bad air conditioning, bad service. All those things are true. What's going to happen? The first guy's going to say, I'm not going to listen to Jonah's Lashon Hara. I'm going to go to the store anyways. He walks into the store, and what happens? He's given bad service. He's treated with bad midos. He's schwitzing the whole time. So basically what my Lashon Hara did is I proved to this guy that this store is the worst store to go to. My Lashon Hara, which was truthful, it was true, but it was mean and wrong and disparaging, it's going to cause the next customer to see that this is a bad place, and he's going to tell all his friends also, and this guy's going to end up losing a lot of business. Let's do an opposite scenario. Let's say I say all those things, but it's not true. The guy who owns the store is a wonderful guy. He's got great midos. His AC's at 64 all day, and he's got great customer service. It's a wonderful room to be in. It's a wonderful experience. So I tell the first guy, don't go to the store. He's terrible. He's the worst store. It's the worst store owner. And the first guy, the customer, shows up, and it's a great experience. The store owner's nice. I don't know. So the store owner's going to be exonerated. No, he's going to get out clean. I lied about him. I made up a rumor. I falsified the facts. I made up something, some rumor about this guy's store, and I was proved to be wrong, because if people actually want to see the truth, they'll go to the store and they'll find out that this guy is not such a bad guy after all. The store is a pretty good experience. The shopping experience is pretty good there, and my lie didn't really cause any damage. So ultimately, which one's worse, Lashon Hara or Motzi Shem Ra? Well, the way we just pitched it, Lashon Hara is really much worse. If you tell the truth in a negative way, and the guy can't defend himself, the victim can't defend themselves, so your Lashon Hara is going to destroy the person. It's going to cause tons of damage, nezikin, it's going to cause damage, nezek, and that's going to be the biggest problem. But if you speak motzi shemra, if you lie, you make up a rumor, so true, maybe it'll cause damage, but maybe the guy will be exonerated, maybe he'll defend himself, deny the claims, and be able to save himself from any damages. So really, ultimately, the truthful Lashon Hara can really be worse, more harmful, more pejorative than the speaking a lie of motzi shemra. Yeah.
What if it's true, there's no air conditioning in this guy's store, and the person he's telling it to is
do you know the guy we're talking about? Because I wouldn't have said that example. You don't, right? Okay, good, good, okay.
Is an elderly person who can't function, then you would be helping that person. I would want to know.
100%, 100%. So
I wouldn't go there.
That's a crucial point. That's a critical point. So basically what we're pointing out is that there are cases where if that really is true and the store is a terrible experience, the person's mean, the air conditioning is bad, that's, you know, physically dangerous, but also just hurtful to our feelings, and all those things are true, then there might be room in certain cases to tell someone that because it's mutter in those cases. We're not discussing that case right now. We're discussing a case where I'm just doing it because I'm a bad person and the guy's 25 and he's not going to plots from a couple of schwitzy moments, and the service is not going to hurt his feelings so bad. He's got thick skin. We're talking about a case where that wouldn't be true. But 100%, and we'll talk about this hopefully in further weeks, you know, business, shidduchim, things like this, where sometimes you do have to say something negative to save someone from a bad situation, that's 100% true. In our case, that's not true. I'm just a bad guy. You know me. I'm just a bad guy. I'm trying to get this guy not to go to the store because I have bad intentions. In that case, it is an Isser Lashon Hara. So in that case, I'm trying to prove that Lashon Hara is really worse than Motzi Shem Ra, because I can defend myself against lies, but I can't defend myself against the truth. True. So there are that's a good point. There are cases where my Lashon Hara will be just as bad as Motzi Shem Ra, because I will tell you that the store is bad and you won't even go. You won't even try to find out. Or I'll tell you the store is bad and you'll go and you'll have a negative perception of the store because of my Lashon Hara. And there are plenty of scenarios like that, but that doesn't make it worse than Motzi Shem Ra. I'm just pointing out there are many cases where my truthful negative statement will be worse than Motzi Shem Ra, and otherwise they'll be equal. You can't prove to me that Motzi Shem Ra is worse, logically. A source we have. Motzi Shem Ra gets a worse punishment, but a logical proof I don't yet have that Motzi Shem Ra is worse.
How much is your intention
play? So that's exactly where we're going with this. So let's try to figure that out. So I'm talking all this time about damage, 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 and then I'm mentioning the word intention a few times along the way as well. How do those two things interplay? How do they relate to each other? So let's start to discuss that as well. So that's our second question. Our first question was, how could it possibly be that Moshe Rabbeinu was being spoken about by Miriam HaNeviah? He was being spoken about in a negative way. She was saying things that were not positive about him, and yet it's not called Lashon Hara by Rashi and the Rambam. That's not called Lashon Hara. And secondly, a second question, the Chafetz Chaim tells us that Motzi Shem Ra, lying, is so much worse than Lashon Hara, but what are you talking about? Lashon Hara can cause, potentially, so much more damage than Motzi Shem Ra. True, in some scenarios, Motzi Shem Ra will be just as bad, but you never find that Motzi Shem Ra is worse, lying is worse. Lying is much better in most cases, because at least I could defend myself. Truthful Lashon Hara should be much more damaging, much more hurtful, cause much more of a loss to the victim than the case of Motzi Shem Ra. So why does the Chafetz Chaim say that Motzi Shem Ra is worse than Lashon Hara? So let's start to talk about something that's going to really, it's going to be a total shift in our vision, totally look at this halachas of Lashon Hara, this parsha of Lashon Hara with a new set of lenses, new pair of glasses. We're going to see completely different halachas of Lashon Hara after this point, but you have to stick with me to understand this fundamentally, so to understand what's going on in the Isser Lashon Hara. If you turn the page, you'll see an interesting source in source number 8. This is really just to prove that I can speak English, not just Hebrew. This is an academic article, I guess, relatively academic, that by Dr. Benjamin Brown. Dr. Benjamin Brown, has anyone here ever heard of him or read his stuff? Okay, he's a scholar, a professor in Eretz Yisrael who really is a prolific author. I mean, really, every time the guy sneezes, another 1,000-page book is coming out, and he's writing about all types of things. He focuses very much on the Haredi community. He himself is not a Haredi, but he focuses very much on studying the Haredi community from a scholarly, academic perspective. He wrote about the Chaznish. I think his dissertation, his PhD, was in the Chaznish, turned into a 1,000-page book, which I think was the shortened version of his PhD. He's a pell of a guy. He really writes an amazing amount, and he writes very well, and he's very very rigorous in his research. So he wrote, I read this, a year or two ago, maybe 2 years ago. He wrote an 86-page paper, this paper that we're quoting from right now. I kind of put a couple dot, dot, dots in there. But he wrote an 86-page paper about the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, about really the person, the Chavetz Chaim in general, and he tries to prove that the Chavetz Chaim did something special and that he took things that were usually thought of as mussar and turned them into halacha. So he tries to prove, for example, that Hilchos Lashon Hara was not always considered a halacha. It used to be considered like a mussar topic. And one of his proofs that Hilchos Lashon Hara used to be considered really more of a mussar topic, not a halacha, is that if you look in the Rambam, if I was ghostwriting the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, the Yad HaZakah, if I was writing his Sefer on halacha, which area, which book would I put Hilchos Lashon Hara in? Anyone have a stab at it? So I would put it in, there's a book called Sefer Nezikin. That's a book about damages. So the Chavetz Chaim starts by saying, Lashon Hara caused damages, right? That happens when you speak Lashon Hara. They're a grama, they're indirect. Okay, I get that, but it's basically damages. So maybe in the Sefer Nezikin, in the halachos of damaging other people, I would put Hilchos Lashon Hara. That would make sense to me. Says the Rambam, that's not where I'm putting Hilchos Lashon Hara. The Rambam puts Hilchos Lashon Hara where? In a Sefer called Deos. In the part of his book called Deos. Now Deos, what does that usually entail? Knowledge, okay, good, that's one of the aspects, and character refinement in general, like midos, inner things of mussar, ethical principles of ethics and moral principles. That's what's really put in the Hilchos Deos in general, and the Rambam puts in just six short paragraphs within Hilchos Deos, he puts in the concept of Hilchos Lashon Hara, the concept of not speaking Lashon Hara about other people. It's in Hilchos Deos, it's in the character refinement section. So says Benny Brown, that is a proof, let's say, that really the Rambam conceived of Lashon Hara not as halacha, but as a mussar. Really, Deos is perceived to be as more of a mussar part of the Sefer Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, not a halacha aspect of the Rambam. So Hilchos Lashon Hara also is not really halacha, really it's mussar. And he gives you other proofs, and he spends 86 pages trying to prove how you see it within other places as well. And the Chafetz Chaim was really changing things, and he was revolutionary, etc. Now, I agree or disagree with certain things he says. It's not worth disagreeing, because he's 100 times smarter than me. I won't be able to compose anything even close to what he wrote. So it doesn't really matter what I happen to think about it. I happen not to agree entirely with his assessment, but he makes some very good points along the way. He makes some very important points along the way that need to be considered, and he quotes a lot of important halachos as well, so it's a really good article to read in general. But basically his main proof over here from the Rambam is that the Rambam put halachos of Lashon Hara in Hilchos Deos, which is more of a character refinement midos section of Mishnah Torah. Now, let's ask the question, why did the Rambam do that? Why did he put Lashon Hara, Hilchos Lashon Hara, into Hilchos Deos, into the aspect of midos, of character refinement, of fixing our personalities? Why is it there? So, Rav Tursky Shlita has pointed out many times, and other people have pointed this out as well, that it's obvious that the reason that the Rambam put it in Hilchos Deos, Hilchos Lashon Hara, into Deos, is because the Isser of Lashon Hara is not what we used to think. And like we were saying until now, we were talking about damages and causing hurt and pain and financial loss. All those things are true outcomes to Lashon Hara. The Gemara says that Lashon Hara can kill three people. The speaker, the one who's spoken about, and the people around them, it can be killed. Everyone can be destroyed. And really, communities can be destroyed by machlokas and strife that comes from speaking Lashon Hara. That's all true. Damage will happen, but that's not the Isser of Lashon Hara. The Isser, the essence of the Isser, where it really comes from, what it really stems from, is that the speech of Lashon Hara, dibor gnus, speech of Lashon Hara, improper speech bespeaks bad midos. Speaking in a negative way bespeaks negative attributes. Talking negatively about other people shows that deep inside, deeply seated within me, I have these negative characteristics. I have these feelings of angst, of disappointment, of being upset at people, of being angry. Whatever the reason that's motivating the Lashon Hara is coming out, is manifest in the evil speech. The speech itself and the damage it caused is the outcome of the Isser. But the Isser itself is not the speech and the damage it causes. The Isser itself, the violation, the Avera itself, is defined in essence as the Mida that it bespeaks, the bad character traits that it represents, that it's being manifest in the speech, the bad character traits, the Deos Raus, the Midos Raus inside you. That's really what Isser Lashon Hara is all about. It's showing, it's representing something deeper. Says the Rambam, it's halacha. It's Hilchos Lashon Hara. There's details. There's yes mutter, no mutter. There's tons of cases. It's practical applications. All of that is true. But ultimately, it's Hilchos Deos. Ultimately, it stems from bad midos, from something inside of us that makes us want to speak in this way. The speech itself is negative and terrible and causes damages. But what causes that speech, what brings it about, what it bespeaks, what it represents, is something deeper, something much more flawed about my personality. That's why in Hilchos Deos, and if you look, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita points out that the Vilna Gaon says the same point. He says that Lashon Hara is the opposite of Midos Tovos. Lashon Hara is a Mida Ra. And if you look, you don't really need the Vilna Gaon. I mean, you need him anyways for other things. But if you look in source number 9, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva points out that you don't really need what the Vilna Gaon said in this context, because the Rambam says, Arba v'esrim dvarim me'akvenes tshuva. There are 24 things which can be an impediment, which can kind of hold back a person from doing tshuva, make it harder to repent on his sins. In Halacha Hey, he says one of them, or I guess a couple of them, he says, he lists five of them, and he says, V'hein kulan deos ra'os ad ma'od. All the things I'm listing right now are things which are deos ra'os, bad character traits, bad character, flaw in characteristics. Says the Rambam, what are the first two? Be'elu hein, rechilas, v'lashon hara. So I would have said, wait, relashon hara, that's not bad character traits, that's nezikin, that's causing damages, that's hurting someone, that's hurting their business, that's causing damages to people, that's being mazik. No, says the Rambam, it's deos ra'os ad me'od. It's a bad character trait, again, because the Rambam's telling us that the iser of lashon hara might represent itself in speech, and in speech that's damaging, but ultimately what it's representing, ultimately what it is a manifestation of, is the character flaw, the deos ra'os, the midos ra'os, deep inside of the person. That's what iser lashon hara is really all about. And when you understand this, you start to see in Sefer Chafetz Chaim and all of Hilchos Lashon Hara, and everyday applications in your life, you'll start to see that it has nafkaminas. It really makes a difference in how we perceive different scenarios. And it'll come back to what we said over there a second ago. If you look in source number 10, the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara Klal Dalet is going to tell us a bunch of rules about when, we spoke of this a second ago, when it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara. Because sometimes you're supposed to say something that seems negative. Sometimes you're supposed to disclose information that you normally would not disclose in a negative context. That's called toeles. That's called a case where it's beneficial. There's a purpose. There's a constructive purpose to the Lashon Hara I'm speaking. In those cases, it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara. Says the Chafetz Chaim, ach nira li, even when it's mutter, even when you're allowed for a constructive reason to speak Lashon Hara, nearly, even so, it seems to me that you need to tell the person you're asking, when you're asking, let's say, about a shidduch, and you need to ask this question, it's a very important question. What color tablecloth does your mother use? Whatever. Something very, very important like that. So you say, you have to say like this as a chav time. I'm about to ask you a question. It might seem like Lashon Hara, because everyone knows the color tablecloth really matters in your life, so it might seem like Lashon Hara, but you should know it's not Lashon Hara. I'm asking for Shidduchim purposes. Now, you could use that whenever you want, apparently. You could say, it's for Shidduchim purposes, but let's say you're being truthful. It's for Shidduchim purposes. You know, what color tablecloth does her mother use? So, says the Chafetz Chaim, you have to tell the person you're asking that you're asking for a toeles, for a constructive purpose, for the reason of Shidduchim. Why do you have to tell them? It's not Lashon Hara. I'm asking for a good reason. When this person answers my question and says, oh, they use such and such color tablecloth, they're answering and helping the situation. No damage is going to be caused. It's not going to be a negative outcome. It's not going to be disparaging to the person being spoken about. It's going to help either move along or not move along the shidduch, whatever is appropriate. It's a positive outcome. So why do you have to tell the person that you're not speaking Lashon Hara, you're really asking for a good reason? Says the Chafetz Chaim, it would be lifnei iver. If you ask the person and you don't tell them why you're asking and they give you the answer, it's lifnei iver, it's causing a stumbling block, it's causing the person to do an iser. What iser? Lashon Hara. The person answering was saying Lashon Hara. What Lashon Hara? It's a constructive reason. You're asking for a good reason and the person answering you, so what iser are they doing? How is it lifnei iver? How are you causing them to sin? Says the Chafetz Chaim, and this comes exactly back to what we said a second ago, that it seems to him that in every case of Lashon Hara, even though in other parshas in the Torah we focus on the damage, on the outcome, in the case of Lashon Hara, the Isser is hu liganoso hiskavein. The Iker, the essence of the Isser, is tully in the kavana, in the intent, like we said before, in the intent of the individual talking. I am asking for a constructive reason. I want to know if this shidduch should go forward or not. This person's answering me why? I don't know why they're answering for me. Maybe because they like talking Lashon Hara. Maybe because they want to talk about this person and speak about their tablecloths. If they're answering in that way, it doesn't matter that no negative outcome is going to come out of this. It doesn't matter that nothing's going to hurt the other person. It doesn't matter no damages are going to occur. If the intent was there for a negative reason, if the intent was there for a disparagement of the other person, then that's a deya ra'a. It's not nezek. It's not nezikin. You didn't cause any harm, no foul, nothing like that. But it bespeaks something deeper. It shows, it represents a deeper flaw in the person who's answering you, that they're trying to answer with Lashon Hara, even though you don't need it for Lashon Hara purposes. That's the Yisr of Lashon Hara. That's the Chafetz Chaim. It's lifnei iver. You're causing this person to talk Lashon Hara. Unbelievable. But it's exactly what we just said. That if it's a toeles, it's objectively a toeles. It has to be subjectively beneficial as well. It has to be subjective. That the person's kavana, the person's intent, is also for the right reasons. Otherwise, it's the same Yisr of speaking for the wrong reasons. Because Lashon Hara is not about negativity. It's about negative malice. An intent, an agenda to cause malice in a negative way.
So if you went to a restaurant that just opened, a brand new restaurant, and I asked you, how was your experience there? I'm asking for your opinion. And you say something that it was negative. That's your opinion. Is that also?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no, I think is the answer. I think we'll have to talk about it in coming weeks. Similar to your previous question, in the sense that everything that you're saying is absolutely crucial and critical. It's just details within the halacha. We're at the stages of assuming, if I'm speaking for the wrong reasons, it's for sure usher. Everyone could agree to that. That we can all agree to. If I'm speaking for the wrong reasons, it's usher. There are cases like shidduchim, potentially like a business situation like you mentioned before, the air conditioning case, health reasons, whatever, where information must be disclosed. Those cases are details. We'll have to talk about them in future coming weeks, hopefully. But yeah, sometimes it is mutter and a mitzvah to reveal information that you wouldn't usually.
So
the person at fault for having bad intent is the person speaking and answering, right? That's obvious. Good. That's your point. Now, why is the person who asked at fault? That's because there's a rule in Torah of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, which means you can't cause someone else to sin. So if I'm asking you this question and I know it's going to elicit a negative, you know, deya being expressed as speech, I'm telling you to speak lashon hara, basically. So you're doing an iser, and I'm responsible. Also, I take part in that iser of doing that iser because I've caused you to perform that iser. So it's lifnei iver on the guy asking the question, and it's speaking lashon hara on the part of the person answering the question. That's the two people would partner up in terms of that iser. Now, another interesting facet that comes out of this, explanation of the yesod, of the foundation of the iser of lashon hara, is that the Rambam does something interesting. He leaves something out. We've said until now, like 100 times, that there's a heter within lashon hara to speak lashon hara in a constructive manner. If you need to do it for a positive reason, it's mutter. If you look in Hilchos lashon hara of the Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, you will never find the heter of Toelis. You will never find him listing that it's mutter to speak lashon hara when it's for constructive purposes. Why not? The Rambam doesn't disagree. If you had to make a shidduch, you would have to disclose certain information, or had to cancel a shidduch, you'd have to disclose certain information in the proper way, in the right time, with the right intentions, all those things considered good. But ultimately, there is such a heter. You're not supposed to sit, not say anything when you're supposed to save someone, so why did the Rambam leave it out? You know what the answer is? Because the Rambam doesn't think toelis is a heter. It's a leniency within Hilchos Lashon Hara. If you speak Lashon Hara for constructive purposes, if there's no bad intent, if you have no bad midah being expressed in what you're saying, it's not Lashon Hara with a heter, it's just not Lashon Hara at all. You haven't done anything. You're not expressing a bad midah for a good reason. You're not doing something wrong for the right reason. You're not doing anything. You're just talking. You're just saying the right thing. You're doing a mitzvah. Says the Rambam, I don't need to list that for you as a heter. I don't need to list that for you as a leniency, an exception to the rule. It's not an exception to the rule. It's just not part of the parsha of Lashon Hara. Says the Rambam, the whole concept of Lashon Hara is bad midos that come out through the speech. Bad midos that represent themselves in the speech. If you don't have those midos, don't have those intentions, when you're speaking to Lashon Hara, it's not Lashon Hara. It's not mutter Lashon Hara. It's not Lashon Hara at all. There's nothing to talk about. I don't even need to list it in my halachas of Lashon Hara. Says the Rambam, that's the yesod. That's the foundational understanding. That's the paradigm shift we're supposed to experience. That's the lens through which we're supposed to look at the halachas of Lashon Hara. It's not an iser of causing damage. That too, that happens. It's negativity. That comes out. It's an outcome, a result of the iser. But the iser itself is the manifestation of the bad midos, of the bad deos. Let's come back to our original questions in reverse order. We asked, how could it be that motzi shemra is worse than Lashon Hara? Motzi Shemra, if you remember, was lying in a negative way, and Lashon Hara was saying the truth in a negative way. And we pointed out that Lashon Hara is much worse, because with Lashon Hara, saying a truthful negative thing, I can cause someone real damage. They can't defend themselves, they can't deny themselves. Ultimately, they can't exonerate themselves from the claims against them. So ultimately, my Lashon Hara is truthful, but it's going to cause much more damages. So why is Motzi Shemra worse? You know what the answer is? Motzi Shemra is not going to cause more damages. In most cases, Lashon Hara will cause more damages. Sometimes they'll be even, but Motzi Shemra is not going to cause more of a negative outcome. You know what Motzi Shemra is? It's more conniving. It's more malicious. It's more of an agenda, a malevolent agenda, to cause harm to someone else through your midos. You're expressing a much worse, a much deeper midara when you lie and you make up a rumor out of nothing. When you tell the truth, it's one thing. It's very negative. It's terrible. It expresses bad midos. But ultimately, it's true. I mean, you're saying something that's true, and you're doing an avera, but you're saying something that's true. When you think to make up a rumor, tell them the air conditioning doesn't work, tell them the guy has bad midos, tell them the service is bad, you make up a false rumor in order to get this guy knocked down and get out of business. Terrible. That represents a terrible midah, to lie in order to harm someone. That shows you such a deeper seated midah ra, such a deeper seated deya ra. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what's the whole issue of Lashon Hara, of this evil speech in the first place? Not the damage it causes. Yeah, Lashon Hara will cause more damages, but Lashon Hara is not about only the damage, it's about the intent. It's about the reason a person is speaking, about the deya, about the midah that's being expressed through the speech. If you're lying and you're making up a rumor, That's 100 times worse, 1,000 times worse, it's infinity times worse than speaking Lashon Hara in a truthful way, because it represents something much more flawed within the character of the individual. That's why the Chafetz Chaim says ultimately Motzi Shemra is really worse, Avonu Chamer is really more severe and more stringent than Lashon Hara itself. And now we can come back all the way to the beginning. We asked, how could it be that Miriam wasn't speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu? She said a negative thing behind his back that, you know, most of us would not have appreciated speaking behind our backs. How is that not Lashon Hara? Says Rashi and the Rambam, Shehilo Diber Bignuso. She wasn't speaking disparagingly about him. Yes, she was. She was pointing out a chisaron, a lacking, something he did wrong, a mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu made. That's very negative. That's disparagement, if I ever heard of it. That's gnus. Now we could say, what? That's not disparaging. Disparaging is when you spread a rumor about someone, or a true rumor, a fake rumor, whatever it might be, and you're doing it in a way to cause harm. You're doing it in a way that represents something negative inside you. Miriam and Aaron were talking to each other, being messiahites. They were taking advice from each other on how to properly give musar to Moshe Rabbeinu. They saw a flaw. They saw a mistake, mistakenly, but they thought they saw a mistake in Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were trying to find what's the best way to show him the right way to go. What's the best way to put him on the right derech to show him what he did wrong and how he can ultimately right his ways. So they were talking. He did this. He did that. It wasn't the right thing to do. They made a mistake. But is that Lashon Hara? No. That's not Lashon Hara. It's not even Lashon Hara with an exception. Lashon Hara with a heter. Lashon Hara with a leniency. It's not gnus, says the Rambam. It's not gnus, says Rashi, and ultimately Chazal. It's not disparaging. It doesn't represent anything negative about Miriam that she was talking this way. It's something positive, something holy. She was trying to right a wrong. She was trying to help Moshe Rabbeinu grow from what she thought he had done mistakenly. She was wrong about that, but it wasn't Lashon Hara. She didn't speak Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when we have malice, when we're malicious, when we're trying to hurt someone with a dayaro, expressing bad midos through our speech. That's Lashon Hara. Miriam Hanavia, that's not what she was doing. She was trying to help Moshe Rabbeinu in the wrong way, but she was trying to help Moshe Rabbeinu through her speech. That can't be considered Lashon Hara. So now we have a new way of looking at the halachos of Lashon Hara. And it gives us a pretty negative outlook on Lashon Hara in general, right? I mean, the way that Lashon Hara can change our lives, if you look at the title, Defining Lashon Hara, Defining Ourselves, the way Lashon Hara can define us is seemingly pretty ugly. I mean, a person is now, we're not saying he's just doing an aveira, we're saying that he or she is really evil inside and deep inside and deep-seated. It's a pretty negative way of looking at things. And the truth is, there's a lot of things to think about from that, and we have to really be misboning on that and reflect on that and try to think about how ultimately, the things that we say are really representations of ourselves. But the truth is, we have to focus on the positive as well and flip the coin a little bit to what we started with, that the opposite is true as well. It's Mi'a Isha Chavetz Chaim. If someone wants to live a life of good, Liros Tov, a live a life of Oiv Yam, live a life of loving his days and feeling happy and positive and always feeling in a good mood and always feeling like a good person about themselves and about other people. So the ultimate answer to that is Netzor Lashon Chameiros, Sechem Midah Ber Mirma. It's true. Lashon Hara is pernicious and it expresses pernicious deos and expresses a malicious agenda within a person. It's true. All those things are true. That's representative of something deep inside of a person. But the opposite is true as well. If we work on Shmiras HaLashon, it's not just an action which is an avoidance of the Isser of Lashon Hara, an avoidance of the Aver of Lashon Hara. It's a leap, a monumental leap, from one side of a person's character traits to the other. It's taking a person from being someone who's expressing certain deos to being a person who's Shomer Piv, who's Domele Piva Elyon, who becomes holy not only in the way they act, but also in the way they speak, who becomes holy in the way of the speech, in the way that they are talking about people, in the way they are talking about situations, who becomes holier through speech. Not just avoiding the negative, but becoming a positive person and growing through learning how to speak properly. What we'll do this summer, we'll focus on this chakira a few times, focus on this understanding, this fundamental understanding of Lashon Hara a few times. Sometimes we'll point it out, sometimes we won't. But what we'll always try to focus on is not just fixing ourselves and avoiding the Yisurim, and not just finding the right things to say at the right time, but using the growth over the summer and hopefully over the rest of our lives and learning the Sefer Chavetz Chaim and learning the Halachas Lashon Hara to not only grow in our Shmiras Halashon of the mitzvah, but to grow in the representation of ourselves, to change ourselves, become people who don't seek the negativity, who people who don't aren't be speaking any negative data because we don't have that in us. We're Liros Tov, we're positive, and ultimately, if we work together, Mitzvah Hashem, B'siyat HaShmaya, over the summer, we'll truly become people who are Chavetz Chaim, Liros Tov.